Well, welcome everybody. It's been a great morning so far. The brothers have experienced what it's like to set up a tabernacle out in the wind over there, right? It makes you think more about how those Israelites had to set up those tabernacles all the time. What in the world did they do when it was so windy, man? Quite an effort, but we're really excited. We're so excited to be able to celebrate the baptism today with Courtney, and that's where we're going to have it out there. So, amen. Right now, we're going to talk a little bit about heaven. Recently, there's always some kind of book or some kind of TV show or some kind of new thing going around about heaven, right? It's just a very popular topic to write about, to make movies about, to talk about, have songs about. And so there's always something. Recently, there was Heaven is for Real. And it's gotten a lot of people to think in their mind about the idea of heaven. But you know, God has been working his plans for heaven, for us to end up and be in heaven with him all throughout the human history. And only he knows how much he was working on it before human history ever even started. But if you were looking in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 3, not 1 and verse 3, but chapter 1 through chapter 3, you see that God created mankind to have a special relationship with him. Out of all of the creation, God wants to have a special relationship with mankind.
Amen.
But you also see in Genesis chapter 3 through verse 9 that mankind constantly strays away from God. You know, always finding some reason, some way to stray away from him. And that's true even to this day. And we've experienced that in our own life as well, haven't we not? But God is faithful. Even through all that, we continually see God working and acting through the whole entire Old Testament to try to reach out to man and to try to help have this relationship with his people. Even in Genesis chapter 11, the great story of the Tower of Babel, where mankind was doing the thing that mankind often does, which was thinking of ways on how they can make their own name great. They weren't so focused on God, but they wanted to make their name great. And they said, hey, let's get together and build a tower up into the heavens. And that way, we'll all stay together. We'll be able to see anybody who comes to try to get us. We'll all still speak the same language. And we will make a great name for ourselves. And God looked down upon that, and he acted lovingly. He said, all right, look, you know what? Since I created these people in my image and I made them special, the truth is this, that when men get together, men and women, and they're unified and they're organized, they can do amazing things. And when they're doing amazing things that are going to be good for them and that are going to be in keeping with God's will, that's awesome. But when they're not, then they can do amazing things that are going to be harmful and hurtful. And God saw that in the Tower of Babel. So what did he do? He switched up everybody's language, got them all confused, and they started spreading out around the earth based on their language. And they were never able to complete the Tower of Babel, changing their languages and scattering them around the earth. You can fast forward all the way until the New Testament, after Jesus came to the earth, and after he prepared and trained his disciples and taught them, then Jesus went and did his part right. He died on the cross. He rose from the dead. He ascended back into heaven. And then you see how God begins to do the exact opposite of what he did at the Tower of Babel. Whereas at the Tower of Babel, he was scattering people and confusing them with their languages. In Acts chapter 2, he was bringing people together and he was unconfusing them with languages by giving them the ability to speak in tongues so people could speak to one another in an extraordinary fashion. That's very unusual. And so this was God, once again, though, bringing men back together. We can read all about that in Acts 2 and verse 5. It says it was people there from all nations. In Acts 2 and verse 4, it says that God was uniting them by allowing them to speak in tongues or speak in languages. And God is uniting them this time to build something, not a tower for the glory of man, but instead uniting them together to build the church for the glory of God. And it's an awesome scripture. And then we read And we see that God has drawn everyone together with his church, and he uses that church to build his kingdom on earth. He uses that church to draw people to God. And there's a reason why. It's because he loves us, and it's always been his intention to have a relationship with mankind. In fact, you should look in Acts chapter 2 for a minute, in verse 42. It talks about how this church, once God decided it's now time not to scatter and to disperse people over the world, but instead it's time to gather and draw people together. It's now time not to build something great for the name of mankind, but instead it's time to build something great for the name of God that's going to benefit all mankind. So he pulls everybody together. He starts the church on earth. And in verse 42 of Acts chapter 2, it says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone as he had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. And as you go and read the rest of the book of Acts, and you read much of the New Testament, you see how God has been constantly working his plan in order to get people to eventually end up with him in heaven. And you today, as part of God's church, are part of God's plan. He's used the church to work in your life in order to get you to heaven. And he wants you as part of the church to be used by him in order to help other people make it to heaven as well. But it doesn't really just stop here at the church. There actually is a future that hasn't happened yet. It says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and if you turn over there, we'll read about this. The future, the thing, some more work that God's planning on doing, some more plans that God has. He has these plans for us and many, many, many others as well. But in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, in verse 15, it says, according to the Lord's own word, we tell you that we who are still alive, who are left till the coming of the Lord, will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever. And therefore, encourage one another with these words. We spent a lot of time encouraging one another with these words last week. But this is God's plan. His plan is not complete yet. He's been at work throughout the whole entire history of the world. Ever since man has been on earth, he's been working in mankind. Leading up to this time, when the time will come, when we will go to be with the Lord forever, if we belong to him. This is really designed to be awesome and encouraging and to really build us up when we think about the things that we go through in our life. There is going to be that time when there will be Christians still alive on earth and there will be Christians who have died a long time ago. And God is going to gather together all of his people and bring them back to be with him. Amen. And God wants us to remember this and have this as a focus in our life, because a heaven is going to be an amazing place. One reason why it's going to be amazing is because God is going to be there. Yeah. Any place where God is, that's awesome. Yeah. And it is true that in part, God actually is here with us on earth. I mean, we read in the book of Acts that God is actively working in people's lives to draw them into situations where they might turn to him and where they might find him. He's actively working in their lives to make that happen. We read that God is not willing that any man should perish, but wants every man to come to the knowledge of the truth. So I want to give you good news. It's unfortunate that this is taught And it's unfortunate so many people believe this, but God actually did not choose the winners and the losers in this world. Okay? He did not pick out who is going to be saved, and he did not pick out who is going to be lost. If he did that, then the Bible is wrong. And so many times we read about predestination, and we think that predestination is the same thing as predetermination. And that's not what the word means or what the Bible teaching is. God did not pick out who is going to be lost or saved. He's actually giving you a chance to decide whether you are going to be lost or saved. He already paid the price, so you get to decide. There's no situation where you can decide and then you're not going to be able to do what it takes to be saved, because Jesus already did what it takes for you to be saved. But you're going to have to decide. I'm grateful for Courtney deciding that that's what she wants to do with her life. But the Bible says God is not willing that any man should perish. Okay? He's not willing for one. How could God have picked out the people who are going to perish if he wasn't willing for any of them to perish? The Bible says that God wants all men to come to the knowledge of the truth.
Right.
How could God have already decided who wasn't going to come to the knowledge of truth if he doesn't want all men, if he wants all men to come to the knowledge of the truth? God wants all. In Acts, we read that God is going around the world working in people's lives in order to give them the chance to turn to him and find him. He isn't just picking a few people out to turn and find them. He's trying to get everybody to turn and find him. That is what the Bible teaches. And that's great news, because that means that no matter who you are, you can have a relationship with God if you simply choose to turn to him and find him.
Amen.
You think, is there any possible way that I could go to heaven? Yes, there's every possible way that you could go to heaven. It's your choice. God has given you the ability to make that choice. He wants you to be in heaven with him.
Amen.
But you're going to have to make that choice. And that's pretty encouraging, because it lets me know this. It lets me know that I have a choice.
Amen.
I can choose. That nobody can force me out of heaven. Nobody's going to keep me out of heaven. Nobody's going to stop me from being in heaven except myself. And why would I do that to myself, for crying out loud? God is planning on the day when Jesus will come back and return and take his people to be there with him. And it's going to be awesome, simply because of the fact that that is where God is going to be. But he's not the only one who's going to be there. The people of God are also going to be there with him. And it's exciting when you get to gather around with a whole bunch of people of God. It's always a great time when you get to enjoy that time together. Let's look at Revelation chapter 7. This is a beautiful and inspiring picture. In Revelation chapter 7, starting in verse 9, it says, "After this, I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and in front of the Lamb. They were wearing white robes and were holding palm branches in their hands. And they cried out in a loud voice, 'Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb.' All the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures. They fell down on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, 'Amen. Praise and glory and wisdom and thanks and honor and power and strength to be our God forever and ever. Amen.'" Can you just get this vision of what it will be like with God in heaven and all of the people that belong to God being there with you? And the angels are there. And who knows what other spiritual things that are there. I don't even really know. I don't know if the Bible tells us. But they're all going to be there, and the Father will be there, and the Son will be there, and the Holy Spirit will be there. And that's where people will be who belong to God forever.
Amen.
You know, this reminds me of some special conferences that I've gone to in my life.
Amen.
I remember a conference in San Antonio a few years ago, and there was like 18,000, 19, I don't know, thousands of disciples there, all roaming around, all taking over that part of the city. And the fellowship was incredible, and the singing was awesome, and the encouragement was great, and the meals were fun, and we just had an awesome, great, wonderful time together. And I think about just going down to the ACR conference a few weeks ago. There was maybe 4,000 or 3,000 people there, and it was similar to that. Just incredible fellowship, so much fun and laughter and encouragement and praising God and singing, and people just enjoyed one another. Even people they didn't know, they would get to know each other quickly, and it was just such an awesome time being with people of God, worshiping God, and enjoying one another together. But you know, in heaven, the thing that's cool about heaven is there's no leaving. There's nowhere to go. There's no other place to go do something. When you're at the conference, you know, you got to rush on over to this and rush on over to that and get fellowship with these people and fellowship with those people. But you have tickets because you know you're going to be flying back home in just a few days. Or you're planning to drive back home in just a few days. And you're paying for eating at restaurants. And you have to pay for hotel rooms. And all there's a lot of things that go along with those awesome conferences. But those things don't happen in heaven. None of the negative part happens in heaven. Okay, there's no, oh, wow, I wish I just had some more time so I could enjoy this longer. In heaven, you have all the time you ever want to enjoy it longer. There's no, oh, wow, man, it's going to be tough paying the bills next month after coming to this conference. In heaven, there are no bills for you to pay, okay? You don't have to worry about that. It's just going there, enjoying God, enjoying God's people, having a good time, worshiping the Lord, fellowshipping together, enjoying friendship with one another, and who knows what else that God knows and we don't know, but it sounds really, really awesome to me. How about you? Amen. These are the pictures that God gives us of heaven, of eternal life in heaven. And knowing how awesome heaven is, then it's no wonder that Jesus said these words, "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Jesus wants us to put our hearts into heaven. Not here on earth. He doesn't want us to be pulled away and distracted away from God here on earth. He wants us to focus on heaven. Amen. He said in Matthew 6:24, "No one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money." If we live our lives just trying to figure out how to make the most money and get the most stuff and have the most opportunities to buy things and go places and do things, then we just live like everyone else in the world. We are not going to be able to love God with all of our heart and live like that with all of our heart at the same time. It's not possible. And so Jesus said, don't do it, because, hey, heaven's going to really be awesome. In Matthew 6, verse 31 to 33, Jesus said, "So do not worry, saying, 'What shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear?' For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things, they will be given to you as well." Jesus calls us to focus on God, seeking God's kingdom first, seeking God's righteousness, choosing to prioritize our resources, our time, our money, and the talents that God has blessed us with. Choosing to prioritize those and use them to build up God's kingdom. Amen. Reflecting God's righteousness to the world around us. And why does Jesus call us to do this? For two reasons. Number one, he knows that God has us covered here on earth. There are people who are following Jesus and sacrificing for him all over the world. You notice you don't read anything in the news about how everyone who's following Jesus is starving to get death because they have no food. How everyone who's following Jesus has no place to stay or no place to live. God has us covered. He doesn't promise to let us live a rich life. He doesn't promise to let us be, you know, living lifestyles of the rich and famous or anything like that. But he promises to provide for us everything that we need, but we must put him and his kingdom first. That's one reason. Sure, it would be cruel and unreasonable for anybody to say, hey, why are you so worried about all these things? It would be cruel and unreasonable if there wasn't a plan to help take care of them. The plan is that God will work in your life and provide for you what you need. That's not a call not to work. The Bible teaches us to work. That's not a call to be irresponsible. The Bible teaches us to be responsible. But we are so tempted, and we all know it. We are so tempted to carry it so far that we begin to neglect our relationship with God. We don't have time for prayer. We don't have time for Bible study. We don't have time for sharing our faith. We don't have time to make it out to the meetings of the body. We don't have time to get the encouragement in our marriage or in our families, because we're so busy worrying about and getting focused on how we're getting more money and how we're setting our life up to have more money so we can have more stuff. But Jesus knows that heaven is worth it. So first, before anything else, seek first the kingdom. First. First. Not after you take care of how you're going to eat. Not after you're going to take care of how you're going to get the things that you want. Not after you take care of your career. First. And then God will bless you. And he will help you take care of what you need on this earth. God's plan for mankind has always been to have an eternal relationship with us. Satan's plan is to get us distracted on everything he can, so that we walk away from him. Instead, we focus on other things. But God, he wants us to be like a big family, with him being the Father in heaven. Anybody who's in a family, if you're a mom or a dad, or even if you're a kid, you understand. It's having the family together, having the family loving one another, laughing together, enjoying each other, enjoying their friends together, enjoying their life together, enjoying God together. This is what God wants for us. Amen. As his people.
That's right.
Peter had a few things to say about heaven as well. And I think it's very, very, very helpful for us to read over there in 1 Peter chapter 1. He had a few things to say. And this scripture is very empowering to us. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. Kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that your faith of greater worth than gold, which perishes, even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy, for you are receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls."
Amen.
You know, here we're learning that we may have to suffer all kinds of grief and trials while we're here on earth. And we may be feeling like, wow, if God was with me, why would I have to suffer all kinds of grief and trials? Shouldn't everything be okay? Shouldn't everything just work out? But the Bible teaches us, no, we actually need to suffer grief and trials. Imagine what we would be like if everything always worked out for us all the time, every time. Just imagine how prideful we would become. Just imagine how self-independent we would become. Just imagine how quickly we would forget all about God. Just imagine how we would start to think we're God. We're the one who's got it covered. We're the ones who have it right. Everyone should be like us. Everything works out for me all the time. I'm the man. I'm the woman. Be like me. God knows that. He knows that we need the trials in our life in order to help us end up in heaven, which has always been God's goal for us. He knows we need the trials in our life in order to make us turn towards Him, towards God. He knows that we will quickly turn away. People have quickly been turning away from the beginning of time. He knows we need to have things that set us back on the right course. And He also knows we need things to build our faith. We have to be able to go through things and exercise our faith and struggle and overcome and persevere in order to continue to grow in our faith. And that faith is precious. It says more precious than gold, because that faith is the thing that keeps us binded together with God. And God has provided us help when we go through our trials. First of all, He's provided us with the Holy Spirit. Second of all, He's provided us with the Scriptures to read for encouragement and knowledge and understanding. Third of all, He's provided us with prayer. We can take anything and go to God at any time and talk with Him about it and get help from Him.
Amen.
Fourth, He's provided us with the church. In the church, we can find friends. In the church, we can have parents. In the church, we can have pastors and preachers and others who are all working diligently, constantly, to try to help and build up the church. We can have all of those things that God has provided for us to help us go through our trials, but we cannot escape having trials.
Right.
We must have them, or we will leave God.
So true.
And through all of that, what Peter said is, we still have inexpressible joy. And why do we have inexpressible joy? Well, it's because we're receiving the goal of our faith, which is the salvation of our souls.
Amen.
We need to spend a lot more time thinking about heaven, a lot more time thinking about how heaven is eternal,
Amen.
How heaven is where we get to be with God, how heaven is where we get to be with the people of God, how heaven is an encouraging and loving and kind and wonderful place to be. We need to spend a lot more time thinking about it, because when we realize that whatever we go through on earth, whether we gain good things or we suffer through bad things, it's only very, very, very short.
Right.
We're only going to enjoy the benefits of what we gain on earth for a very short period of time.
Amen.
We're only going to suffer the pains of what we feel on earth for a very, very short time. But if we go to heaven to be with God, then forever, eternally, without any end, without stop, we will enjoy God, His people, and everything He has planned for us
Amen.
In heaven. And that's going to be pretty awesome.
Yes, it is.
So in conclusion, heaven is for real.
That's right.
And what we can learn from the Bible is it's a place of joy and happiness and peace. It's a place of love and of friendship. Heaven is a place with God and being there together with His people. It's a place without the worries that we have in this life. And heaven lasts forever. Heaven is eternal. As we go through our life and we face the trials and we face the temptations to leave God, to walk away from God, to be unfaithful to God, to be pulled by what the world has to offer us, we just need to remember God has everything that we need for ourselves here on earth. But more importantly than anything else, God has eternity in heaven for us.
Amen.
But we must choose. We must choose heaven.
Amen.
We must choose faith. We must make the choice to maintain our relationship with God. Thank you very much.
Amen.